Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co. Hello, everyone. I know you've been waiting for a very long time to be involved with all of the amazing things that we're doing at Rare Drop, and now is the time. We are introducing the Rare Drop Patreon, so if you've ever wanted to get involved with experimental content or being at any of our podcasts early to listen in, well, all of that is available in the new Rare Drop Patreon. Check it out.
Welcome to episode 35 of Star Wars Discussion about a bunch of hyperspaces.
Kevin, why did you mumble that?
I'm practicing to be an auctioneer.
No.
Stick
to your day job. Yeah, stick to your day job.
What if I want to be an auctioneer and that's like my true dream, not the CEO of a new media company?
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll have to cross that hurdle when we get there.
It's officially Q&A night, so if you want to ask us questions on Twitch, just use the questions command. If you're on Facebook, it should be the pinned comment, but let me double check before I open my mouth. I'm sure... Nope! Paul did it! Yay! Everyone say, yay, Paul!
Hooray, Paul!
Paul is wonderful.
Hooray!
So it's a pinned comment on Facebook, questions command on Twitch. And if you're on any of the other places where this is, you got to go to those two places to get that link. Or you could go to go.raredrop.co/questions.
Questions.
Super simple. Before we start the show, we're going to tell you to go to kingscoastcoffee.com. We ran out of heartbreak, so f*** you.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, no, that was really cool. So I was streaming, and we were talking about King's Coast, and someone was like, oh, there's like 85 bags left. And I was like, Chad, it'd be really cool if we sold out on that. And we just, like, in 5 minutes, it was all gone.
Your chat, man.
It was dope. It was actually really fun. They were really proud of themselves. They're like, give us more coffee to sell out on. I'm like, no, hold on, wait. Hold on, don't do it.
They celebrate us so much and want to see you naked. It's impressive. One day, yes. Chad. One day.
No.
Oh, Paul didn't finish that SOW. That's why he's sulking. It's okay, Paul. We'll finish it tomorrow morning. I'll hold them off for you for one more day. CEO. Actually, it's just CEO. I don't know. Welcome to episode 35 of Star Wars and Scotch. Tim, I have a completely un-Star Wars question to ask you to start the show tonight, because it's going to be a little bit loose and free tonight, so we can go a little off topic.
Loosey-goosey.
Yeah. Just, you know, just ease into it. What did you think of the Snyder Cut trailer
for Justice League? I have already seen Justice League and I hated it, and watching that trailer made me want to watch it again.
My thing with Justice League was I don't hate the characters. I think Ben Affleck is the weakest of the bunch.
Yes.
But I don't hate any of the people playing the roles that they play. I think it was a disjointed, poorly put together mess with a terrible villain.
100%. They the entire, like, how they build up everybody to get to that point, they tried to emulate Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was poorly executed. It was disjointed. It just didn't feel cohesive at all. You didn't even, like, some of the stories weren't even told, like, well or complete to, like, get to that point. Like, every Avenger in the Marvel Cinematic Universe had a good movie and a really well developed backstory.
Mm-hmm.
In all of the DC movies, they really don't give them a good history. They don't really build up their character, and they don't give you any level of attachment. Like, how am I supposed to feel for any of these characters when I don't know anything about them, or to as to like how we got to this point?
It's funny because they almost are like, well, they know who they are, so we'll just roll
with
it.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, like, for me, it's like I only know the DC universe from growing up and watching the cartoons. Like, I grew up watching Justice League. I grew up watching Batman the Animated Series. I watched Superman. I saw all the crossovers and stuff that they did. But like, that's the only way that I know DC, because I'm not really invested into that universe. So
I haven't liked a DC movie. Well, no, let me rephrase. I like Wonder Woman a lot. I still haven't even seen Aquaman. I'm gonna watch
it
the next week.
I really enjoyed Aquaman. I thought that was a really well done movie. I have a big man crush on Jason Momoa, so. He's just freaking hot, and like it makes me wish that I was of like, I wish that I was of his gene pool, because holy crap, that man is just gorgeous.
Yep.
Yeah, and so like I actually really enjoyed his movie. I thought it was well done. The first Wonder Woman I actually thought was decent until the very end. But apparently 1984 just poops the bed. So
I didn't
that's unfortunate.
We never, because Danielle hadn't seen Wonder Woman 1, so we had to go back and watch that. And then by the time we were ready to watch 84, it was taken off already. So we're gonna, you know, we'll go back and watch it another time. But I just wanted your two cents.
It feels like they're gonna play more into the Dark Superman more, which I'm pretty excited about, because like that was a really cool story arc in the cartoon.
Looks like they're also gonna expand on the Nightmare, because that's where the Joker is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm a huge fan, just for the record, this is the super unpopular opinion, I'm a huge fan of Jared Leto being the Joker. I think he got a poor costume job in the last movie, and he's only in it for 3 minutes. Yeah. So I think he deserves a shot to actually play the Joker.
Sure.
Because the method acting, he apparently like 20-something minutes of footage is cut from Suicide Squad that he's in. DC's been grossly mishandled, but maybe this will give it some semblance of life.
I've been saying for a while is that it would be really cool if Marvel Entertainment could come in and just make the DC movies.
I want Disney
just
to
do a whole other, like, do a phase three of Marvel and just start from the beginning and just go at it.
I want Disney to come in and do buy DC, and then they can open up the multiverse even more,
which would be wild. And it's happened before.
Yes. We talked about that. I think it was on maybe The Jam or something, where there is a DC amalgam.
There's a DC
called,
and
Amalgam
Marvel,
Comics.
They mash them up.
Might have been on stream that I was talking about it, but Amalgam Comics is the name of the mashups. And I had them as a kid. There are mashups where they amalgam is where the worlds actually combine into one.
Oh no, this is where they just like kind of like.
Yeah.
Cross.
No. We're talking about two different things. Amalgam is like Wolverine and Batman as one character, Superman and Captain America.
Yes. I've seen those before.
They're very cool. I haven't seen Shazam and Birds of Prey, but now that I have HBO Max, I have no excuse.
Shazam was actually really good too. I really liked Shazam a lot. It was like, that was definitely one of the better DC movies. I agree. It's actually so good that I forgot it was a DC movie.
I'm going to go back and watch. I've seen a lot of the animated Batman movies. Some of the darker ones, I own a bunch of them, like Red Hood and stuff like that. But I want to go back and watch some of the other ones, like the Superman one, because I've heard nothing but good things about the animated DC universe. I don't know, completely off topic. I was curious. I hadn't talked about it with Tim yet, so I wanted to see what he thought and figured we could, you know, talk about some other stuff for the time being. But on to Star Wars stuff. There wasn't much news. Obviously, we all know that what's-her-face Gina Carano was fired. We know why. We're not going to go into the details because I don't feel like having that conversation on stream. Regardless, we need to move forward to Star Wars. She's obviously not going to be in Season 3 of The Mandalorian. And Rangers of the New Republic, from what I've heard, is probably dead.
I've had a lot of people tweet at me and ask me, like, how do you think how they're going to handle this transition? Do you think they're going to recast it? Do you think they're going to get rid of her? And I was like, Disney usually doesn't recast a character. They end up killing them. So I assume she's going to go out in a blaze of glory.
She might not even go out. They might just, like,
they're going to have to do, they'll have to do something. They'll have to close the loop of something, or it'll even be like a mention, like something will come across on comms, like Din and Bo will be doing something and he gets a transmission
I think that's just like that's how they'll handle it.
Oh well,
but that's just me. But oh well.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But everything I'm hearing is Rangers of the New Republic is a dead show now. So that sucks because it's one less thing. But not everything makes it from the cutting room floor to the screen. So
yeah,
is what it is. Plenty of other content coming. I am about no spoiler conversation. Probably I have about 6 hours left of Into the Dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've just now started to get into the meats and potatoes of the book.
I am at the part where I can't say that. That's a spoiler. They are making some decisions right now that will have effects. There you go.
I haven't gotten there yet. Haven't gotten there yet. They're just now starting to figure out that stuff on the thing is not what it seems to be.
Yeah. It's a great book.
I'm a little bit behind you. It's a really good book. I'm liking it as much as I did Into the Light of the Jedi, but for different reasons.
I like it more than I like Light of the Jedi.
I liked Light of the Jedi just because of how it opened up so abruptly with death. That sounds weird when I say it out loud. There's no good way of saying it. I really love Galactic Genocide is what I'm really trying to say.
You really are a fan of the Empire.
Man, that sounded really edgy when I said it like that. There's no good way to say it. It's uncanny. Like they open up and there's a lot of death, and I just that tone setting for me. I love dark Star Wars. I love dark sci-fi. So for a Star Wars book to open up in the first 5 minutes is, hey, billions of people just died, and you're like, oh, go on, okay. It's not like, you know, it's not just like fluffy, happy Star Wars-y vibe, you know?
All right, Tim.
Ooh.
It was at that point Tim knew he was of the dark.
So there's some stuff in this book. The place they go. So it starts out very lighthearted, this book, but it takes a turn.
Quick.
And then you go from that to completely uneasy and unsafe, and you're... If you pay attention to what they've announced, you know what's coming, but you don't know how it's coming, you don't know what it is, and you don't know where it's from. And that is actually very suspenseful.
Almost like haunted house kind of vibe.
Yeah, that's...
I'm just saying, like, it gives, like, the storytelling is, like, of almost like a ghost story, almost, like this one. Like, the tone is very different. Like, the overall, like, writer's tone with this story is very, very different from Light of the Jedi. And of course it's two different authors. But just like the overall, just like this look at the timeline is very, very different from the other look that we saw. So I think it's cool. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm really enjoying this book.
There's something that's happening with the Force too, in this book that I find interesting. I don't recall it anywhere else. I'm sure somebody will be able to tell me once we can talk about it, but it's the first time I can remember it happening with the Force, and I'm interested to talk with Chad about it in a few weeks. Probably another, 2 weeks, do you think, Tim, we'll be ready to talk about it?
Let's get to the end of the month.
Because I don't think the next book is out till June now, if I recall.
The comics and stuff are out now, so that kind of acts as a filler.
They're on the third
issue. Why don't we just wait till the end of the month, because we did the first book at the end of January, so...
So we'll probably March 1st will be the night we talk about this.
Is that a Monday?
Short month.
Yeah, it's a Monday. Yeah, February short. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 weeks from today.
So yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's my favorite content from the High Republic so far. If you haven't read any of them, you really should get started and get into this part of Star Wars, because it's all new ground. It's so familiar yet so foreign at the same time.
Very much so.
It's a world you know with things that you know, but new ships, new lightsabers, new characters, new ways to see the Force, new enemies. I mean, it's really cool, and we're all getting to experience it at once. So highly recommend getting in there and starting it. start with Light of the Jedi. There's the other book that Tim and I didn't really like, but it's only a 4-hour read if you really want to dive
I should really just suck it up and just deal with it.
The comic is fantastic, by the way. It's fantastic. Yeah, I love the comic. It's really good. But it's just cool to see all of these new Jedi, and they each act so differently, experience the Force differently, different ways they use the Force, and then their variety of weapons is pretty awesome, too. So...
Good stuff. Very good.
I was there. There wasn't much in the way of Star Wars news, so we're gonna jump.
Yeah, it's kind
of
quiet.
We're gonna jump right into the questions. Let me make sure there was no Patreon questions too. While we ask the first question, which comes from Astronav. We've been asked this before, but we can tackle it again because I'll probably give you a different answer every time you ask me.
Sure.
What is your favorite scene in the movies and why?
Oh man, favorite scene in the movies for me is probably the final fight with Vader and Luke in Episode 6.
Yep.
That is probably my favorite scene still after all of the Star Wars shows and movies, and There's a couple reasons why I like it so much. One, it was always like the lightsaber fight that I loved to like mimic as a kid with toy lightsaber. And as I got older, I appreciated that more because it shows Luke's vulnerability and how he just constantly thinks that he is strong enough. And you know, he can do it. He can defeat the Emperor and turn his father back to the light side of the Force. And it's interesting to watch Luke just get chipped away like over time by the Emperor, and just how anyone is susceptible to that. And then him fighting his dad, and then his dad realizing that his son's gonna end up going down the same path as him, and he doesn't want that for him, and it's like the whole paternal, like the dad always wants what's better for, you know, he wants his kid to have it better than he did. And so like there's a lot of like little things that you can look at and then just kind of like peel away at, and there's a lot of different things that Lucas did. So yeah, it's probably my favorite set of sequences within any of the movies would be Luke in the throne room with Vader and Palpatine.
I still get chills when Luke says, I am a Jedi like my father
before
me.
Like my father before me.
I always get chills every single time.
And just throws his, then you will die.
I mean, I agree with Tim. I feel like that's the best Star Wars, the peak of Star Wars ever. But outside of that, I just watched it recently, so it's stuck in my head. And I said it to Tim on Saturday. Was... the Ahsoka versus Vader on Malachor from
he loves that scene
from Rebels. It's just so powerful. Powerful.
It's very emotional. It definitely, again, it shows the human side of Vader. It shows that Annie is still there, and it's this struggle, this internal struggle of he's so angry and mad, but at the same time he's still very much so the character that you fell in love with and that these people came to know as more than just an instructor or a friend. It was their brother or husband.
And the way his eye changes,
yeah,
and
just
voice
like, yeah, there's a lot of things. And for Ahsoka, like that was her brother. You know, like they went through so much together and they really do a good job of showing that in Clone Wars. And you can see the pain on Ahsoka, and you can see the pain in Annie's eyes. If you go back and watch that scene, you'll definitely get goosebumps. You might draw a tear.
Close second behind that is Maul and Obi-Wan the second time on
that one's
Tatooine.
Really deep too,
because of everything they put into it. It's face value. If you don't really care about Star Wars and you're just watching it for story, it's like, oh, that was quick. But if you dig deep into it, you realize that he baited him with the same exact move that Qui-Gon did to lure him in, and just one strike. That's all it took to take him out, because they had both planned that moment for so long, and Obi-Wan played 4D chess there and won. And then even the way he holds him and he says, "Is he the one that will save us all?" And he's, what does he say? I believe he is, or he is. I can't remember exactly.
So, something like, yes. It wasn't like he's just, I think he might be, or something along those lines. But like, even from Maul's, like, when you look at it from Maul's perspective, like, there's so much anguish in his face. And he's just like, it's almost like he's almost relieved.
Yes.
Like this burden has been lifted from his shoulders. He can finally rest. And then there was the whole thing with Maul is that he was so distraught and he was so upset at the thought of losing to this person. This person humiliated me multiple times. I just want it to be over. I can't let it go. And the only way to let it go is to die. And if anything, Obi-Wan saved Maul from himself.
Yep.
So, and Maul had been betrayed so many times before, and with Palpatine and with Dooku, and you know, it's just like he was a survivor.
Yeah, because he wasn't a Sith anymore. He was just a dude who could use the Force that was hell bent on revenge.
Yeah, he was just a dark master at that point.
So yeah, it was those two are probably two of my favorites in recent memory. I would say now. Like, again, for me, it goes by show or whatever, sure. But, you know, Luke showing up now. I know Tim didn't love it as much as I did, but it's just kind of like part of the awesome now for me. And Ahsoka showing up in Mandalorian, so. Cool. Let me thank Pockets for 27, J2 for 5, King or Cyclops for 15, who's almost done with Into the Dark. Keep going, you're almost there. Paul with 16, who's paying himself apparently now. Sadakit with 15. Okay. Well, he's resubbing to his own channel.
Thanks. So, you know, it's good. Thanks, Paul. He just wants his own emote. That's what he wants.
Werewood said, Tim, I know you've really been enjoying the Dr. Aphra comics. Or books, not comics, right?
Oh, like the Dr. Aphra book. Yeah, I haven't done the Dr. Aphra comic yet.
If you could choose how you would want to see a Dr. Aphra show set up, how would you want to see Dr. Aphra show up? Sorry, I read that wrong. Would it be in a movie, a show, animated, or live?
No. Oh, yeah. So for me, I think a Dr. Aphra animated show in the theme of Indiana Jones would do really well. I don't think Dr. Aphra could be live action too, but I feel like her character and the things that's going on, it might be better off getting the Clone Wars or Rebels treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that art style. It's lighthearted, but at the same time, you can do more. And some of the stuff that's talked about in Aphra's book, I feel like could be achieved a lot easier in doing it animated than it would be live action. So yeah, I think a Dr. Aphra in the art style of Rebels or the last season of Clone Wars, because whatever they did to their engine and whatnot, just chef kiss. It looks phenomenal. So do it in the last season of Clone Wars style, or like in the Bad Batch, and then do it with like a Indiana Jones flavor, and I think you've got a really cool show, because it's like, it's always cool to see like a female hero in the Star Wars universe. There's more and more of them showing up, which I love. So I think something like that would do really, really well. And she's a cool character. She's spunky. She's in it for herself. She reminds me a lot of like Han Solo. She's a pirate. She's in it for herself. She's always thinking about herself. She's got these two droids that are like the inverse of C-3PO and R2-D2, which is phenomenal. It's like this protocol droid that just wants to kill everything. And then think of Chopper from Rebels, but then give him like a flamethrower and like a machine gun and a bunch of other like rocket launchers and stuff. That is what that astromech does. It's hilarious. I would love to see a Dr. Aphra show.
So show you would go? Animated show?
I would go animated show for Dr. Aphra, 100%.
Cool. I'm down. We know so many people from Lucasfilm listen to this show, so.
I mean, yeah, Kevin, didn't you know?
So many. Thank you, Snooty and Scott. Ninja said, imagine you two are in charge of the story post episode 9. So collectively, Tim, we're in charge. Okay, we're like
we're in charge of any, we're like, wait, what are
What are you in charge of?
Post episode 9, me and you are in charge.
We just get to run the show.
What does it look like? Is Ray involved or are Force Sensitives just learning on their own? Can we stop trying to remove Ray? Ray is a fantastic character. Just because she was poorly written sometimes doesn't mean Ray needs to leave. Ray is a integral inspiration for kids like my old, who's not a kid anymore, but like my oldest daughter who loves Ray. And I'm sure my youngest will. And even my son loves Ray. So stop trying to take Ray out of Star Wars. Ray ain't going anywhere. Well, we probably won't see her for a decade or so, but she's a part of the Star Wars universe, which goes to the next question. Would you support the removal of key female characters like Rey from canon if it meant a new sequel trilogy more in line with Mandalorian? Let's do this backwards. Let's answer that one first. Because Tim and I answer this one all the time. You want me to put the... I'll put the megaphone on so they hear me.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Guys, I hate it when you make him pull out the megaphone.
We are not getting rid of the sequel trilogy. I know some of you hate it, but if they didn't get rid of episodes 1 and 2... they're not getting rid of episodes 7, 8, and 9.
He's doing this for the people in the back.
And billions of dollars have been spent into the infrastructure for the sequel trilogy that exists in both Los Angeles and Florida. As soon as the pandemic is manageable and everyone's back, we will all be enjoying Batu, which is directly related to the sequel trilogy.
Literally, they'd have to redo both rides, which the one ride is like the most innovative Disney ride in the history of Disney. So I doubt they're willing to throw that out the window. And like I said, episodes 1 and 2 still exist. Episode 1 might be one of the worst movies of all time, let alone a Star Wars movie. But you know what? I still watch it every time I watch through all the Star Wars stuff. Why? Because it says Star Wars on it. That's why.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, Shanghai has Star Wars too. Thank you.
Well, there you go.
All right, back to us being in charge of everything post episode 9.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Rey making some sort of, I don't like the word force neutral. We're not allowed to say gray Jedi. Some sort of more intelligent use of the force academy that combines the teachings of the Jedi with a more sensible, less strict thing, and then have an actual awesome greater evil, because we haven't really had that in Star Wars. It's always questionable on, well, the Sith could be right because of this and the Jedi are wrong because of this. Yeah. I am ready for a Star Wars story that has like absolute good versus evil, but I'm kind of getting that in the High Republic now.
Yeah.
They're not so like stick up their ass Jedi yet.
Right.
So that would be my thing.
I'm kind of like, I feel like if you move forward in any way, shape, or form, you end up still tied somehow to the Skywalker saga. And that's the thing, is I'm so tired of it. So I think that's why I'm enjoying going back in time. And so like, I think anything after episode 9 for me would end up just being in the past and doing stuff like that. I love this. I love the High Republic. I love the Old Republic. I want to live there for a bit. Because I feel like if we go forward anything with Rey, like if we're going to go forward, I want to go like hundreds of years, like maybe even like the Jedi have been forgotten. Like there's literally like Rey couldn't do it. Rey died and the ways of the Jedi were forgotten. Maybe even move out of this galaxy. Go somewhere else. There's so much cool shit out there. Like, we haven't even barely scraped the surface of the chaos. Let's go just do a story out there. We know the Force exists out there, out past wherever this galaxy that we've lived in for so long.
So this is not really a spoiler, but there's mention of a race in Into the Dark called the Imaxines. Mm-hmm. Who were another warlike? They were a warlike culture because they come back during the rule of the New Republic, but before the High Republic, they left.
They were a warrior class,
right? So they'd go around conquering other planets and civilizations, but once the Republic formed, it was too big and too strong, so they couldn't do that anymore. So they went out into the chaos and left.
Yep.
And then they come back during the Age of the New Republic to invade, but we need more of that. Like the Chiss, and you
well, we know that the Chiss are force sensitive. We know like their second and third sight is their interpretation of force sensitivity. And so like there's other stuff out there, and the force presents itself in different ways in other places, and we need to go out there. I just want to leave all, I feel like the Skywalker saga and like everything that revolves around it has just been beaten to death. And even and like and that's what I appreciate so much with Light of the Jedi and Into the Dark, is that like they only mention the Sith a couple times, or like the dark side, but it's all like this new stuff, even though it's like within the timeline that we're familiar with. And to Kevin's point in a few questions ago, when we were talking about like the lightsabers are familiar, or like, but all these starships are different, but like there's a lot of familiarity, so you feel connected to this world. Like, I want a Star Wars story that is so disconnected from everything else that I learned about everything in a different way, and talking about things that I've never heard of. Like, there's races and stuff that are, like, familiar in this, which is good, because it's, like, this is leading up to the things that we already know. So there has to be that connection there. But, again, like, I want, if anything, if we go into episodes 10 through 12, I want it to be out there. Past the chaos, or in the chaos, or past the chaos, because there's got to be old shit out there, man. There's got to be like the Zephos. Like, that was one thing that was so cool about Jedi Fallen Order, is that we started learning about an alien race we had never even heard of. This ancient massive creature that apparently has deep connections to the Force. Where did they come from? Like, what killed them? What destroyed their people? What were they doing?
I mean, you can involve, so the Grisk, which are probably the Yuuzhan'vong, for all we know, they're out there. The Rakata, who are from Old Republic, they're Rakata were like the precursor race. So just because the Zepho exists doesn't mean the Rakata don't, which was a conversation we had when I was playing Fallen Order with chat. They're like, oh, this retcons the Rakata. I'm like, why? Just because one race exists doesn't mean another one doesn't.
Sure.
Also, the Zepho are the origins of the Force users, not civilization itself. The Rakata are like the first sentient beings in the galaxy. That's the big thing with them. So, I want to explore more. I have a feeling, just like they're doing with High Republic books, comics, things like that, will be the big way we go out there and see things. I don't think you'll see anything on the screen soon, but with the way that they want to pump out content for Disney Plus, you may start seeing them take chances on animated stuff. Yeah. And we read a few weeks ago that Disney was in talks to do rated like MR stuff on Hulu for Star Wars. So, you know, that could be Chiss, Grisk, you know, level stuff, because that would be better suited. You'd do better in a more mature environment introducing stories like for those races. So,
heck, even the Nihil are pretty dark.
I freaking love them.
Like the Nihil and like that Mad Maxy kind of vibe, I feel like that fits into more of like a mature setting.
And they're like snorting space crack before they go into battle.
Yeah, they're doing fucking like space crystal meth before they go out and ride the way or ride the storm. So
the
it's
Nihil.
Like that. Yeah, like that was. That was like that was some pretty heavy, like mature stuff. So like I would love to see that in that kind of like setting, as like an M setting.
Even the
way
Marchion cut off what's his name's hand.
Cut his hand off, yeah.
But just the description in that scene of the way it was just sitting there on the floor, and I don't know. I feel like, I know I said the last time we talked about this that I wouldn't like rated R and they won't do it because of kids, but if they stick to these darker outer rim, like out there stories, chaos stories, I think it could work. And just, you know, you make it the appeal that it's not, kids aren't going to watch this. You know, kids don't really care about the Chiss Empire and Thrawn, you know? So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, there you go.
We talked about that. Anonymous said, are you excited for Obi-Wan's spinoff? What do you think it will cover?
We talked about this before. And the more that I think...
It's
Q&A.
It's Q Q&A night, though, too.
Oh, no. So what I was going to say is we've talked about this before, and I feel like when it was originally, even the thought of an Obi-Wan show, I was like, oh, that's going to be boring. There's no way. What are they going to do? Just show this hermit just sitting in the sand for 10 years? Like, every episode is just going to be him sitting on a hill looking at Luke playing soccer. but yeah. So, like, that was, like, my original thought. And the more that I've thought about Obi-Wan as a character during this time, he's not, like, he could most definitely have adventures, not just on Tatooine, but he could go out on his own to do things that would he believe to make sure to keep Luke safe, mm-hmm. whatever it is. He could know of threats that are, somewhere in the Outer Rim, people saying whispers of, this person, or the Empire is looking for him doing these things. So there's a lot of opportunity to have a really cool story for Obi-Wan to help close the gap. And that's the biggest thing, is like, what could happen in that 20-year gap between episode 3 and episode 4 that could be fun to tell with Obi-Wan? There's got to be stuff, because Obi-Wan was learning how to become, more than just a Jedi master. He was learning how to continue to live in the cosmic force. And so, like, even that could be really, really fun, especially if they bring in, like, Liam Neeson back, to be Qui-Gon within this. So like, there's a really cool opportunity to expand upon Ben, like Ben Kenobi and Obi-Wan, because essentially they're two different people when you really think about it. Ben Kenobi is the old hermit that lived past the Dune Sea, and Obi-Wan is the Jedi Master and the general. So it'd be cool to see, like, if anything, the transformation and the struggles that he goes through. Is like, he goes from being this revered Jedi general and master to this forgotten about hermit in the sand. So even just to see, like, that just kind of weigh in on him, because they've also, like, talked about how Ben aged faster on Tatooine from wherever he's from, and his biological makeup doesn't match well with how Tatooine works because of the gravity or whatever it is. However, they're going to explain it, why Ben looks so old in episode 4 compared to how he was in episode 3. So I'm sure they're going to play around with that a little bit too.
Well, we know we're getting another lightsaber fight between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah, and so knowing that, like, those types of events are going to happen, the more they've started to explain, like, their thoughts and ideas, like, how they want to do this miniseries, gives me hope, and it also gives me hope for how Book of Boba is going to play out too. I'm excited for it. I was definitely a naysayer at first, because I just wasn't thinking outside of the box when it came to what could Ben do. And so that knowing that they are planning a meetup again for Obi-Wan and Vader is interesting. They're going to have to tiptoe around this one really, really well, because it doesn't make sense when you think about it going from episode 3 into 4 when Ben and Vader meet up again. That dialogue was made 40 years ago. And so, like, 40 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
About? So, like, and so there was no thought of, like, what if they actually met up before this part? So, like, I wonder how they're going to craft that narrative so that it still works within the confines of episode 4. Because, like, if you go in blind and you watch episode 4 for the first time, you know that these two know each other. And the things that Vader says to Ben is just like, last time I was the apprentice and you were the now I'm the master. Like, that whole line, you're like, oh wow, okay, so Ben must have taught Vader, or they knew each other or something along those lines. And even Ben telling Anakin about, or Luke about Anakin, like, that all kind of leads up to you knowing that they have a relationship, but they haven't seen each other in a long time. So I wonder how that's gonna work. And then you start to think, like, oh, the last time that they saw each other is when Ben cut his legs off. So
is there anything conflicting with the idea that Ahsoka shows up?
Ahsoka shows up with...
No, in the series, not for that fight.
Oh, no, that could definitely work out. 100%.
I don't know if it will.
But I mean, like, if they're... I feel like they're going to want to get their money's worth out of Rosario Dawson, so... Potentially, it would not be out of the realm of possibilities.
it just comes down to what was she doing? Where was she in that time period, and what was she up to? Which we don't.
So the only thing he says
we really know.
It's ambiguous, Tim. He says, "I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master."
There you go.
It's so vague.
It's vague. It is vague.
I don't think anyone's going to hate it if it happens.
No, I don't think anyone's going to hate it. It's just going to be interesting to see how they craft that, because it does have to have this continuous flow. It can't be like this one they have to explain it in a way to where that line in episode 4 still makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that line makes sense if you watch episode 3 and go into episode 4. It still makes sense because the last time he was still Obi-Wan's master. Or Obi-Wan was still Anakin's master. He was still the apprentice. He did not go through the trials. He was not a master.
I don't think they can throw too many known characters into Kenobi. Ahsoka's like the only known one that I think, besides Darth Vader, that I think they could throw in there.
That's the only time that it would work.
Because there's no one else. I mean, everyone's like, Cal Kestis will show up in him.
Why would he?
There's literally no reason. Unless he shows up in the second game, and then we have a link to why he would go see Obi-Wan in the show.
I still believe and really, really hope that Cal Kestis' story will not transcend the video game world. I think he does really, really well as a video game character. It's another medium to tell a different Star Wars story. And I still think that his character is niche, and it's not going to be as like as an Ahsoka or as a Thrawn. Like, I mean, even if like, it's not even an Ezra. Like, if Ezra showed up, I wouldn't be as surprised as if a Cal Kestis be like, why the hell is he here? Because I just don't think it has the same level of connection for Star Wars fans. Like, the only way you know of Cal Kestis is if you like play the video game. But like, everyone is like, I feel like everyone has seen Rebels and they've seen Clone Wars. I mean, to that point, every Star Wars fan could have gone and played Jedi Fallen Order. I don't think that's the case.
That is why I could see Cal showing up is a reason to go play the video game if you're watching the show and don't know, and they'll cross it over, or vice versa.
I just don't think he can be a core character.
It wouldn't be a core, it'd be a cameo. It'd be like Cobb Vanth.
I guess, yeah, but I mean, like, Cobb Vanth was a really good way to introduce. They used him as the forerunner to Boba Fett, and it was like a really good transitional piece.
Yeah.
You know, because like Cobb Vanth had his armor, and that was already set up in Aftermath years before they even thought about bringing Boba Fett back into the fray.
Seeing Cal before his own story is complete feels like a mistake. Not if the next game takes place after the Obi-Wan show.
I don't think it will.
I'm playing devil's advocate right now. I'm just throwing out.
Yeah, 100%. I guess for me personally, I love seeing him contained within the video game medium.
Yes.
I don't think like, yes, the guy who is the actor who does Cal, he can act on screen, he can act in the movie or in the video game. I don't think he would have any issues bringing that character to life on screen at all, in the slightest. I just don't think it's going to have that same level of connection with anything that you would get out like you would with an Ahsoka or a Thrawn or an Ezra or a Bo-Katan or like any of those characters, because we've only seen how long was Fallen Order? 8 hours, 12 hours maybe. It wasn't a long game. It was a great story, but it wasn't a long game. And so it's as much as I love his character, I'm not as emotionally attached to him as I am a Rebel or a Clone Wars character. So, but I still very much so enjoyed playing the game, and I can't wait to see the trilogy when it's all done. But I think it's gonna I would hope that they are going to use the video game to explain, like, they continue expanding upon the Zepho and figuring more about that stuff. I think it's gonna be like
the same way that like a Dr. Aphra. Like I really don't know if we're ever going to get a Dr. Aphra show, but I love her character and I love the book and I'm excited to get into the comics. Like I like having characters and stories that only stay within a certain medium. Because it allows you to explore and try and do different things.
Tamir Morrison is in Obi-Wan, so that either means clones or Rex. I agree with that. He could meet up with Rex. Clones is probably more likely.
I think he'll see Cody.
Cody hunting him?
I think somehow like that
isn't
would make
sense. Isn't there canon information for Cody hunting him? But we don't know how Cody died, right?
We don't know how Cody died, correct.
But there is, isn't there canon stuff in the comics where Cody's hunting Obi-Wan?
I don't remember. I can
look
it up.
You don't have to look it up. Chat will tell us in literally
true.
2 seconds.
But I would like Cody would make sense because I mean like they were just so I mean they were bonded, you know, just like Rex and Anakin were. So it'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I could like the whole Cal Kestis thing. Like people are constantly like mentioning him, and I'm still trying to figure out why people want him in other things so badly.
I think it's the continuity. It's the continuity of a universe. And when you look at post Revenge of the Sith or post Order 66, there's not a lot of Jedi left. So the idea that they find each other and interact with each other is exciting from a storytelling perspective. I get it. I understand it. But I also think Cal, the only way you could fit Cal into the Obi-Wan story is if the next chapter of Cal's story that will be told in the game is after Obi-Wan. Like, he's older.
I don't see why he would need to go to Obi-Wan anyways. Like,
who says he goes to Obi-Wan? And what if Obi-Wan goes to him? What if there's some sort of distress call? You know, there could be a thousand things that could bring them together. So.
I'm going to leave it at, I don't like it.
All right. Andrew asks, do you think Mando season 3 gets delayed with the firing of Gina Carano, assuming she was written in the script? No. They have a year to film that shit. And COVID filming last year was 10 times harder than COVID filming this year. All the protocols are in place now. Every major production company is pretty much back in full swing. Actors are flying again. Like, it's, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Nope.
I also don't think she had a huge role in season 3 because I think season 3 is about Mandalorian society, not the characters.
It's going to be, it is going to be really, really heavy on Bo and Mando, the Darksaber, and whatever the hell is going on Mandalore.
Yep.
And that's it.
We're going to find out if it's actually a dead planet that the Empire glassed or if they were lying and, you know, the cult believed it. Or if there was some rhetoric behind staying away from Mandalore, and that's why the way, the Children of the Way, you know, stayed. Who knows? I think we're going to learn all about that, but I think it's going to start out with the awkward realization that Mando is now Mandalore, whether he likes it or not, and that's going to be the drama with Bo-Katan and all that stuff. So, should be good. Speaking of which, Brian said, now that Baby Yoda's name has been announced, do you think people will keep the interest or lose interest in Mando? No, because the thing everyone talked about by the time the season was over, it was like, we know his name is Grogu. Ahsoka showed up. And then it was like, oh my God, it's Luke Skywalker. Like, they completely shifted everything away from Grogu that season. He was a side piece. He didn't really matter except for the journey to... You know, I've been quested to bring the child to his people. That was it. He was just there for comic relief and, you know, a few points in the story. But the story is clearly about Din Djarin, not about Grogu. Clearly. If anything, it wraps up a plot line that we all needed closure on. And now we know he's safe with Luke for at least 16 years, so... That'll be the only thing we worry about.
He'll be back. There's no way that he's not going to come back. He moves merch more than any other, I think, Star Wars character right now. So there's no way they're getting rid of him. I think they just need to... There's a story that they want to tell, and I think season 3 is going to be dark, and it's going to be something that you wouldn't want to associate with Grogu. I think it's like that. The whole thing with Grogu and Din is that it's that father-son relationship. And that's like, that's just, that is some, that relationship I don't think can live within the bigger story that they need, that they want to tell when it comes, like, for some reason, the Mandalorian way, the people, the culture, people gravitate towards that. They love it. The Star Wars fans absolutely adore it. But at the same time, I don't think you can have that, like, father-son relationship storytelling and, like, the comedic relief when you want to get into something so dark and deep, and it's going to be a lot harder to tell when you've got this little guy just puking up green cookies and stuff. So
it's time for the Patreon question, Tim.
Sick. Go on.
Oh, I thought you were going to do your little bit about Patreon before I went on.
Hey guys, it's part of the Star Wars and Scotch podcast. Is brought to you by Patreon. Patreon.com/rare drop. If you'd like to support any of the crazy, out of this world, wacky productions that we are doing here at Rare Drop, like Hatuful Boyfriend and other things, then you should, or Kevin of the Month, or even some poems from Professor Broman, you should head on over to patreon.com/rare drop and check it out. It's $5 a month. We do a lot of exclusive content, but the big part of it is a lot of you guys have been asking on how can we support Rare Drop? How can we get involved? And that right there is a wonderful way to do it. It helps keep the lights on. It helps employ the wonderful people that make these shows run. And it allows us to continue to grow and take on new ventures and do really cool stuff for you guys. So if you'd like to learn more about it and maybe even support us and become a patron, you can head on over to patreon.com/airdrop.
Should I show them one of the pictures from the Kevin of the Month Club?
Yeah, you should do it. Give them a little teaser.
That's it. You can see the whole album from the Valentine's Day shoot if you're a patron. I think it's $5 and up. Not sure.
It's $5 and up. We got a bunch of different tiers.
But there's me asking you to pour some sugar on me.
The content is there as a thank you for supporting us. But know that any of the content that we produce will always end up on YouTube or in other mediums for free. We let the patrons see it first.
They're like nudes.
I can't take them anywhere.
Steamboat asks, have you guys ever broken down the Obi-Wan only Sith deal in absolutes comment? No, we haven't. I'd love to hear your input on that one. Thank you, Steamboat, and thank you for being a patron. I don't think we ever have discussed the only, I might not have thought this Sith all the way through before saying this, only Sith deals in absolutes.
Only a Sith deals in absolute, yeah.
What is your feeling? I feel like the age-old rhetoric of the Jedi, that's believable, but by the point that we've gotten with the Jedi, it's not, but also it's Obi-Wan saying it. And if anyone's flexible after dealing with Anakin, it's Obi-Wan. So there's a lot of complexity to that statement that cannot just be said Jedi or Sith, you know, one way or another.
Okay, so here's the thing is, what is the definition that of absolute that they're using here? You know, so is like, are we talking about a binary absolute where it is either yes or no? Are we talking about absolute in the sense of its perfection and that it is free of imperfection?
It is the noun that something exists without being dependent on anything else.
So we're saying, okay. So I'm literally pulling up the definition of absolute to try to figure out as to when they say only a Sith deals in absolute, like in what context are we speaking? And so, like, in the Star Wars sense, I feel like it's either, like, yes or no in that sense.
A value or principle which is regarded as universally valid or which may be viewed without relation to other things. That, I think, is where we're going with that.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I've never really put a lot of thought into how... like how the Sith, like how that's dealt with in the Sith, like ideology.
I mean, the Sith believe in,
take on it, Kevin?
The Sith believe in power above all else. If you are not powerful enough, you will not survive. If the master can be killed by the apprentice, then that was it. The philosophy was fulfilled, and the master deserved to die. So, in my opinion, the Sith are very one dimensional when it comes to that. Now, can you judge an entire group of people over millennia on the one line in principle, absolutely not.
Mm.
But the way he is talking to Obi-Wan at that point, Obi-Wan is using, in my opinion, Jedi rhetoric that Anakin probably already knows from his teachings on the dark side and the Sith. And he's almost using it as a tool to hook him back and be like, you've gone this far, you know, only a Sith would say something like that, is kind of
right.
The vibe that I get from that comment. And it's definitely emotionally charged at that point because he's already choked Padme, you know, and now he has to take off his cloak and do his business with the person he called his brother for however many years. So, yeah, it's essentially saying to him, like, only a Sith would say something like that. So I guess you've become a Sith almost as one last thing. Like, have you really gone this far?
That's, I guess. Yeah, no, it is. Now I'm going to have to go back and I'm going to see if other people have broken that down and looked into it. Cause like that is a very interesting question. And now I myself am intrigued.
MD Bat says it was in response to you, either with me or you're my enemy. Obi-Wan pulls out his lightsaber right after that. I don't think the line was supposed to mean anything other than that. You've gone too far. If you want to fight,
yeah,
let's
so
get
in,
it over.
Yeah, in that sense, that's what you said. Like, that's why I was like, it's like a binary sense of like, you either do this or you're that. There's nothing in between. You don't allow for any type of resolution or any type of way for us to have a dialogue and talk it out. It's either you stand here beside me and you're with me wholeheartedly, or you're against me and you are my enemy.
Right, which is the Sith way. Lego just said it. The Jedi deal in peace and negotiation in their minds. Keep that in mind, because at this point they're in the middle
of
a war.
And that's the whole thing, is also Jedi are also absolute. That if you are not good, and if you are not of the light, then you must be of the dark. There is no other way.
But they'll still negotiate with you. I think that's
they'll
the,
negotiate
the
with you to a certain degree.
Right, like, but Sith, like, don't negotiate. Someone just said in chat, Sith will not negotiate.
Sure.
The lightsaber comes out.
That I agree. That I agree with.
Or you get choked. So that's what Obi-Wan's referring to. Like, there's no more talking left.
That's what I'm saying. It's either this or that. That's all you get.
Yeah. So
yep.
I have a feeling.
So I was right.
It may not be written this way, but the way I would frame it too is it's something from a textbook or something that Anakin would know. You know, that the Sith deal in absolutes in this situation. But that's the difference, is the Jedi. There's always, I get what you're saying, peaceful resolution, but you have to meet me where I am, is the Jedi way, versus the Sith going, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put a lightsaber through your heart, and that's the end of it. We'll settle it my way. So
there is actually a couple of articles that just that are a couple pages long that actually just analyze this.
Oh,
this
people article. Have written papers on it. It's
yeah,
it's,
I'm reading one right now. I'm just like,
it's a loaded.
They start breaking. They break out the Jedi code, and they're talking like it's deep. So thank you for that question, Steamboat, because now I'm very intrigued.
I mean, the Jedi code versus the Sith code is they're mirrors of each other. Jedi code is there is no emotion, there is peace. I used to know these by heart, I don't anymore. There is peace, there is no ignorance, there is knowledge, there is no passion, right. There is no serenity, there is no chaos, there is harmony, there is no death, there is a force. The Sith code is peace is a lie, there's only a passion. It's actually a direct response now that I'm reading it. Through passion I gain strength, through strength I gain power, through power I gain victory, through victory my chains are broken, the force shall free me. It also ties into too what we're learning about in the High Republic, is that every Force user views the Force differently. So fundamentally, the Sith and the Jedi view the Force two vastly different ways. The Jedi serve it, and the Sith use it.
Yeah, they wield it.
Right. That's how.
Yes.
That's how that works. So.
Right.
Whew, that was fun. I love those discussions.
It was good.
I want to be drunk around a campfire when I'm having that talk, though.
Or in a hot tub.
But Jedi based. A Codiation Samurai Shush, you really have to go back to Japan.
It's a lightsaber.
You gotta think about it. Because then the Sith are like outcasts from that. Like, come on.
That doesn't sound like you're drunk anymore. It sounds like you found Ben's sparkle spinach.
Maybe I did. In this scenario. I don't drink as much anymore, so.
True.
What would your Sith name be? Hold on, let me find a Facebook quiz that'll tell me.
Darth Keck.
Mine's
we found out we learned that Keck is the Egyptian word for darkness.
Fine, mine's Darth Kappa.
Yeah, I'm Darth Keck.
Darth Keck and Darth Kappa.
Well, I'm not Darth Keck W, I'm just Darth Keck.
No, you're Darth Keck W now.
God damn it.
Can't wait for someone to draw that one. Tim is Darth. Actually, we already have a drawing of Tim as Darth Keck W.
What?
The one of you and me. That is the.
Yeah, but that's, I'm not laughing, Kevin. I look pretty ticked off at you.
In your head, dear Keck W.
Mm-hmm. It's no Keck W, Kevin.
How would you guys like to see a new movie about the Force and its origins? So supposedly Benioff and Weiss, who made Game of Thrones, were working on that, and then. You know, Game of Thrones happened and Disney was like, yeah, we're going to ask you to not work on this movie. I don't know. I think we need to know more about the Zepho and see if they're at Rakata or still canon. I feel like that's an after Old Republic information. And maybe not a whole fleshed out Old Republic, but I don't know. I feel like we have too many stories to tell in the two eras we're in right now.
And yeah, I don't.
We
yeah,
should focus on that.
Yep.
Dark Keck W is Tim in a Dark Helmet costume.
Nice.
Can you be Dark Helmet one year for Halloween?
No, I'm gonna be Din Djarin. I'm gonna be the Mando for
Halloween. There'll be more than one Halloween, Tim.
Alright, okay. Well, when I get my 3D printer, I'll just 3D print a Dark Helmet Man helmet. And
of course! I always have coffee when I look at radar.
Raspberry.
Love that damn movie.
They're jamming us.
Are they still making the second one?
I thought that was a joke.
No, they were actually at one point there was a script for Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Yeah, I thought that was a joke.
No, that came straight from Mel Brooks' mouth, but he's a little old now.
He's old. Yeah, he's old.
I saw a thing the other day that said Blazing Saddles will be shown on network television. It will start at 9 p.m. and end at 9:07.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Speaking of it.
Oh.
Tim, would you be down for a Star Wars shooter done by Respawn?
A Star Wars shooter done by Respawn? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, I love the guys over at Respawn, the Titanfall devs, and a lot of the guys on Titanfall are now working on Apex. Can they do it? Yeah, should they do it? Probably not.
Last question. We have a ton more questions. You guys asked a ton. Thank you so much.
Do this every week.
They do. They ask a lot of questions every week.
I'm just making sure. Ask your questions. Don't tweet me on Wednesday.
Yeah, don't tweet it at Tim. Just use the link.
I'm not going to answer you. If you tweet at me Star Wars questions, I don't answer them.
It's marketing. He wants you to come ask them here.
Exactly.
So if we didn't get your question today, feel free to ask it next week. We'll probably be theory crafting or going over a topic next week when I have a little bit more time to plan what we're going to do. But Q&A was fun. We'll probably do it again in a few months. This one says, I saw a theory saying that the Sith were once users of both sides, and the Jedi split off of them to study only the light side. Anything in lore support this? So the only bit of lore we have of the originations of Force users is from Jedi Fallen Order right now, which is the history of the Zepho. So if you've never played it, you should, because they do a really good job of explaining what happened with the Zepho, where basically there was light, dark, and balance. And that was what the Zepho were comprised of. And they were the first to use the Force, Tim, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been a hot minute, Kevin, and there was parts where I was just like, what?
We think they were the first to use the Force. So if you go into Legends, which I believe is what you're referring to, I believe there were Force users that called themselves Jedi that were not necessarily... And again, I could be completely wrong, but this is how I remember it. That were not necessarily light side users. They were Force users. And then there was a split and a schism between light and dark that created the Sith and the Jedi. I think that's what happened, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, there's not even like a lot on like there was not enough talk. Like, they didn't talk enough about the Zepho
to for us to understand their backstory. Like, if you go to Wikipedia and you look at the history of the Zeffo, there's a part where it says corruption demise. So though the Zeffo originated as a peaceful culture, over time they became more and more corrupt, eventually falling to the dark side of the Force. Reigning in the time after Sages Ilrum and Mictrol, Kujet ordered the destruction of the Astriums, the species used in their religious practices while promising their followers power and control over the life wind. But he proved to be the treacherous and cruel with his reign, making the decline of Zeffo culture. So yeah, that's the whole thing, is like they succumbed to the dark side, and that was the fall of their race.
Yeah, the Jedi.
As much as we know right now.
Jedi, JED_AI was the Legends version of the ancient Force users, which could be the Zeffo for all we know. We have no idea. One more question, because this is a really good question. How are Darth names chosen? I was curious about this a few years ago, so I looked it up, and it brought me right to the article that I found that answered it. So the reason that you got a Darth name was so you could forget your former life, and you could become this new entity of the dark side. And the name was based on your character. So, for instance, Darth Vader is based on Invader. Darth Sidious is based on Insidious. Darth Tyrannus is based on the word tyrant. Darth Plagueis is plague. So there's a correlation to who you are and how you use the Force and the things you do to your Darth name and what got you to the dark side. So that's how Darth names are kind of chosen and used.
That's cool. But what did Vader invade?
The Jedi?
Republic? I mean, did he really invade, though?
I mean, he marched into the temple and killed a bunch of kids.
Well, but that was after he got his name, though.
Yeah, he was in the process of invading.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm not George Lucas. Go ask him. I'm just working off what I got.
But doesn't Vader in Dutch mean, like, father?
Yes, Dark Father is what Darth Vader
means.
Darth
Vader means Dark Father. So I feel like that's why that name was picked.
Oh, I'm sure. You got to remember 40 years ago, they weren't thinking of
I'm just saying, when you say go ask George Lucas, I'm like, that's probably why.
Yeah, no, it means Darth Father or Dark Father in German. But yeah, I mean, they're just now. It's fun because you get to, like, have this centerpiece, and then it's like, let's make up stuff that links to the thing so we can... It's lore. Nope, this is it. This is
canon now, boys. That's
yep.
it.
Yep. Yep. Chat, thank you so much for joining us for episode 35 of Star Wars and Scotch. We think you're fantastic, and we think you're awesome.
You're okay.
All right, Tim. You don't? Or...
No, they're cool. Yeah.
You sure?
I mean, I don't want to gas them up, dude. They got to keep them grounded.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, they're cool.
All right. Well, chat, again, we appreciate you. We appreciate your time. Make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com and pick up some of the most delicious coffee you ever get. You can check out the new Rare Drop store on High Score Tees. Raredrop.co/store will take you over to High Score Tees. Also, if you're a content creator and you're looking at opening a store, you should check out the requirements because maybe you fulfill them. Patreon.com/RareDrop. You can check out Tim tomorrow morning, fb.gg/darkness429. On Facebook, he'll be getting legged and escaping from.
If people don't just say he's gonna get legged, that's weird.
Every day,
I'm sorry to those that don't understand.
For some
that.
Reason,
I'm,
it reminds
I'm physically okay.
It reminds me of Cousin Eddie when he's like, he's got a little bit of the Mississippi leg hound in him. But thank you so much for supporting everything we do. I'm Kevin, and you can go over to raredrop.co, and anything you click there will make me smile. You all have a great evening. We're going to go raid Glam, who's playing Valheim there. So you have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. May the Force be with you. Kevin, you forgot it. May the Force be with you.
And may the Force be with you. Always.
Save big on brunch for Mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.